following message is from New Life Gillette series, Knocking on Doors. This week, Pastor Paul presents part two of the series.
Good morning, everyone. I am Paul, one of the pastors here at New Life. Welcome to all of you sitting here in front of me. Welcome to those of you online, wherever you might be. And welcome also to you over at Rollins who worship with us every single week. It is great to be with all of you and have an opportunity to come in here this morning as we were on the second week of our two-week journey looking at this idea of knocking on doors and trying to get that door open to see what we might find in there. And today as we finish up this little journey, I want us to look at one important word that we find in this teaching of Jesus, that when we have this word in any part of our life, it stirs us. When this word is active in the midst of what we have going on, we get excited, we get moved. What is that word that we're going to be talking about today? It's this. Urgency, yeah. Can you think of some of those moments? As soon as you see that word, you're starting to think, yeah, I had some of that yesterday, or maybe the day before, or that time at work. We start to get these moments in our mind of urgency. And I was pondering some of these moments this week, and I came up with four for us to consider of urgency. You want to see what they are? Here's the first one. Maybe you experienced it last night. Around 10 o'clock, right? That storm blew through here. I was trying to be in bed already, getting ready this morning, trying to sleep. My wife kept coming in saying, there's a big storm outside. I said, go downstairs. It'll be fine. I want to sleep. But we have those moments where we have that sense of urgency, whether it's on the TV or on our phones, we get that alert. Another one that maybe you have from time to time, maybe you had it even this morning, it looks like this. Oh, my son had this one this morning. Hi, Andrew at home online. Nice to see you there. You know, we sleep in and we realize we're late getting to work, maybe to school, or maybe we think we're going to be late here and won't get a donuts. Yeah, you don't want to be late for things. We have that sense of urgency. Another one, you know, it's summer now, but fall is coming. Maybe some of you love this urgent moment. Oh, yeah, you're out there in your tree stand, and all of a sudden you hear something or you see the movement. Man, we get urgent, don't we? That excitement builds. And then for all of us, whether it's somebody that's with us or maybe it's us ourselves, we all have these moments, don't we? Yeah, I'm anxious to see how many of you have to get up and go all of a sudden. You know, we have these urgent moments day to day throughout our lives. And today, we're going to be looking at a teaching of Jesus where he shares this sense of urgency with those that are listening. And hopefully for us here today that we're going to hear this and understand this sense of urgency that Jesus feels that we need to have in the midst of our lives. And as part of that as well, I know that At the Movies doesn't start until next week, but as a little teaser, I'm going to use a couple little movie clips from one of my favorite sports movies just to wet our whistle for what we're going to be looking at the next couple weeks as we look at this idea of urgency here today. We find ourselves in a teaching of Jesus found in Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 22. And from the very beginning of this passage, we find Jesus in the sense of urgency. It goes like this. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he went, always pressing on towards Jerusalem. Do you feel that sense of urgency in the midst of that passage? I mean, maybe you don't catch it there, but Jesus, it says, as he's teaching, as he's healing people and discipling the disciples, he's going from town to town, but where is he trying to get to? Jerusalem. Now, do you remember what the famous thing that Jesus did in Jerusalem? He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. That was in Jerusalem. So Jesus, even though he's taking care of business every stop that he makes, his mind, his heart is getting to Jerusalem because he knows that it's there where he's going to bring salvation to all of those who would receive him. So he's pressing on. He has an urgent desire to get to Jerusalem because he knows that salvation comes when he gets there. But in the midst of this urgent journey, Jesus gets asked a question, and Jesus loves questions because every time he gets asked a question, he gets to answer. And Jesus' answers, they're not always what the person who asks is expecting. And a lot of times, Jesus will answer the question, and he'll go, whoop. He'll turn what the answer that was expected on its head, and the person will respond, I didn't see that one coming. So what is the question that Jesus is looking at today? It goes like this. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Now that's a powerful question. You know, that's a question that's asking you how many or who will get into heaven or who will end up in hell. You know, it's not a question, is there a heaven or a hell? That person believes it. They're asking from that Jewish perspective of the person that is asking this, how many of us Jewish people, because they already don't think that anybody outside the Jewish faith are going to get into heaven. So they're thinking, how many of us Jews, are all of us going to get in as an automatic ticket, or is just some going to get in? It would be comparable to those of us sitting here, you know, asking the question, will it just be those of us who sit here every week on a Sunday morning? Or will it just be those who have their name on the membership? Or maybe just those who went through the motion of getting baptized? Who will get in and who will not? But as Jesus answers this, he answers in a way that, again, turns it on its head, and he helps us get this sense of urgency in the midst of the answer. He says it this way. He replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. Can you feel that sense of urgency as Jesus answers this question to those in front of him? You know, the first words that Jesus is sharing this with the Jews that are in front of him, and it's those who assumed that they were a Jew, that they were had an automatic ticket into heaven for getting into the kingdom of God life. And so this word, maybe for us again here today, those of us who think, because I go through the motions of doing the churchy type thing, maybe this word is for us as well. We think that we're there because we're names on the membership. We got baptized. We sit here every Sunday morning. But what does Jesus say? He shares this word, this sense of urgency. He says, work hard. Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. To help us get a better understanding of what Jesus is referring to. I want us to look at this little clip from a great movie. Now, it's a great sports movie. Unfortunately, it has to do with Notre Dame and not Penn State. It's the movie Rudy. And Rudy is a young man. He has no athletic ability and his education, he just wasn't the best at grades. But yet he wants to get into Notre Dame and wants to play in the Notre Dame football team. And in the midst of that journey, because he just didn't have the grades, he goes off to a junior college trying to get the grades up a little bit so that he can get into Notre Dame and then walk onto the team. But in the midst of that journey, he starts to run out of time and he has this sense of urgency. Check out this conversation that he has.
Taking your appeal to a higher court.
I'm desperate. If I don't get in next semester, it's over, done. Notre Dame doesn't accept senior transfers.
Well, good job, kid. Chasing down your dream.
I don't care what kind of job I did. If it doesn't produce results, it doesn't mean anything.
I think you'll discover that it will.
Maybe I haven't prayed enough.
I'm sure that's not the problem. Praying is something we do in our time. The answers come in God's time.
Have I done everything I possibly can? Can you help me?
Son, in 35 years of religious studies, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, And I'm not him.
Rudy asked that question in trying to get in because time is running out. Have I done everything that I possibly can? You know, but what about for us and our relationship with Jesus? You know, does this question, based on what Jesus just said, does this question apply to us? Have I done everything that I possibly can? Jesus says, work hard to enter that narrow door. Now, for some of us, we might be questioning this a little bit about working hard to get in, and, you know, rightfully so, we should, because we've been taught all along that we are saved through faith alone, not by our works. And so Jesus would completely agree with that understanding. But there are many back in Jesus' time, those Jews in front of him that were questioning him, and many of us in our churches today who we check off those boxes, those proverbial boxes of thinking, as long as I do this and thus and thus, then I'm good to go. Then I'm saved. But do they actually have faith in Jesus, or are they just checking off the boxes? You know, anyone can make the verbal statement, I follow Jesus. Just like I can simply say, I can fly a plane, but I guarantee you, you don't want to get into a plane with me flying it. Let's compare it to marriage. You know, back 18 years ago when I was wanting to get married to Karen, I could have just checked off the boxes. You know, I could have taken her out on that first date and eventually proposed to her, given her the engagement ring, went eventually, got the marriage license, went to the church on that day to get married, stood up, said, I do, have the pastor say, I now pronounce you man and wife, put the ring on my finger, and that's all there is to a marriage, right? Just checking off the boxes. Honey, are you okay if I just did that? No, of course not. There's so much more to having a marriage. The Jews in front of Jesus would have believed that simply because they were a Jew or an ancestor of Abraham, that that's all that was necessary. Or maybe they thought, well, I have the law that God gave me. As long as I do every little thing in the law, that I'm good to go. And what about us here? Again, some of us think, as long as I show up on Sunday morning, or maybe if I serve a little bit, or maybe if I become a member, then I'm good. Jesus is not saying work hard to earn your way in. He is saying work hard to get to know me. Work hard to believe in me. Work hard to follow me into the midst of life. Jesus understands that Satan is trying to do anything and everything to distract us and to pull us off of that narrow road that Jesus longs for us to walk upon. So Jesus says, work hard and take those steps of giving up your life and following me. You know, the Apostle Paul, who shared that understanding of faith alone with us, it's the same guy that said this in Ephesians. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God, saved by faith alone. But that's the same Paul that also said this in Philippians. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Paul would be the first to say that Jesus did the work of salvation necessary, that we cannot earn our way. We cannot ever be good enough to make it in on our own. But instead, it's through our faith alone in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross on our behalf. But Paul would say we need to press on and keep working on that salvation, keep wanting to know Jesus and believe in Jesus and follow Jesus. Jesus says, work hard. Paul says, press on. If we were looking at Simon Peter in one of his letters, he says, prepare your minds for action. Our faith cannot be complacent. We cannot be idle and just checking off the boxes. But instead, we need to continue to work out our salvation, always striving to know Jesus more and to live more and more each day for Jesus. So again, like Rudy, we have to ask the question, have I done everything that I can do? And maybe that turns into our first life work for this morning. That looks like this. Do a faith journey audit. You know, an audit. Like when someone comes in and looks at your checkbook and checks to make sure that everything's in order, well, sit with someone else and have them discuss with you your faith journeys together and talk it through. Am I doing everything as I walk with Jesus that I could be doing? Am I in the Word enough? Am I spending time with God in prayer? Am I serving? Am I in a life group? Am I in worship on a regular basis, not just here, but on a daily basis? Is my mouth reflective of someone who is following Jesus? You know, just spend some time pondering, Jesus, am I following you? Am I giving my life each moment, every day to you? It's a daily journey, a daily struggle to walk with Jesus. We'll continue with this urgent word. Jesus says, work hard to do what? To enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. Why does it have to be a narrow door, Jesus? You know, are you trying to tell us that, you know, that we just need to be in one of those newfangled diets and get a little thinner so we can get through that narrow door? And no, that's not what Jesus is saying. But instead, he's saying it's not an easy thing because, again, Satan is doing such a good job of distracting us and pulling us off kilter. Jesus says the narrow door. And we don't always like that idea. You know, we think it's too restrictive. You know, maybe you've heard that statement that all doors lead to God, all faiths can get you there, and Jesus would disagree with that based on this statement. It's a narrow door, and Jesus is that door. You know, we should understand the concept to get anything worth anything out of life, that it takes a hard work. It takes a journey to get there. You know, Carrie Underwood didn't become a great singer just because she won American Idol, but she became a great singer because she worked hard and practiced and became who she is. You know, to be in the Major League Baseball or in the NFL or the National Hockey League, it's just not natural talent, but it takes hard work to get there. You know, we don't always like this idea, though, do we? Even though we might understand the concept, I mean, we like the easy way in our generation. Instead of growing our own vegetables and from scratch making a good meal and then washing the dishes ourselves, we'd rather go out to eat. And a lot of times fast food is the better way for us. And for an education, instead of doing the hard work to learn what we're supposed to be learning, if we find a way to cheat, ooh. Instead of working hard, we a lot of times will take the easy road. And the gates or the door to the kingdom of God, Jesus says, it is narrow. And again, he goes on to say this, for many will try to enter, but will fail. Jesus is that narrow door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, as he tells us in the Gospel of John. You know, it's not a box-checking-off thing. It's a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment placing our faith in Jesus, trusting in him with our lives and for our lives, and believing that if we follow him, he will make our life better, and if we work hard at following him, he will help us to be better at life. Many will fail, though, Jesus says. Many will fail to enter. Many will come and knock on that door, but it will be too late. Many will fail to get into heaven, both there and then when we pass away or when Jesus comes back, but that's not the worst of it. But many will fail to enter the day-to-day blessed life that they can have here and now. It's not just a then and there thing. It's a here and the now thing, that the kingdom of God, the narrow door in the kingdom of God, when we say yes to Jesus, we find ourselves there into that unconditional love, the joy beyond measure, the peace that transcends understanding. It can happen today. Many will fail, though, because it will be too late. People, Jesus presents this understanding. We need to have a sense of urgency. Jesus builds this sense of urgency and helps us to understand that we need to work hard to make sure to find out, am I walking in faith of Christ today? For those that don't make it, it's not going to be good. The words that will be heard when they see Jesus will say this, I don't know you or where you come from. Have you ever heard those words in some other part of life? I did. It was back when I was in college, and a group of us went down to the Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium to go to a game. And as we got there, we were hanging out in the parking lot, and one of those scalpers came up to us and said, hey, I got some tickets, great seats, good price. Would you like them? And me being that foolish college student that I was, sure. So I got myself a ticket. And when I went up to the gate, I handed the ticket to the ticket taker, and what did he say? I don't know you or your ticket or where you come from. You can't get in. I said, but I have my pirate shirt on and my hat. Surely you'll let me in. I'm a big fan. But they wouldn't let me in. Jesus shares a little bit what I was feeling later in verse 28, where he says this, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. Jesus shares this image of people on the other side of the gate having a celebration, a reunion, and those of us on this side, like me, trying to get into the Pirates game, weeping and gnashing my teeth because we could not enter. For all of us here today, we need to have the sense of urgency in our relationship with Jesus. Do you know him? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you placed your faith, your trust in Jesus? It doesn't matter whether you've been sitting in these chairs for 50 years. It doesn't matter if you checked off the box of becoming a member. It matters of whether you have placed your faith in Christ and you're willing to give your life to him because he gave his life for you. Do you know Jesus? If you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to place your faith in Jesus, today is the day, not tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow, because today is the day when you have the opportunity, yes, today, to find that blessed life where you find that unconditional love of Jesus resting upon you, that joy and the peace that no one can take from you. Today is the day. If you have not said yes to Jesus before, won't you say yes today? Don't wait. If today is your day and you're saying, yes, I love Jesus and I want to follow him. Well, later on today after the service, right over here in the corner, there's going to be some prayer warriors. And they're going to be waiting for you because they would love to welcome you and to pray with you and to pray for you. And as you approach, they're going to be excited and celebrating with you. Is today your day to say yes to Jesus? Jesus shares another sense of urgency with us in this passage. You know, for those of us who already have said yes to Jesus and we do follow Jesus, he shares this other sense of urgency. We're going to look a little bit more at this clip from Rudy to help us better understand, because Rudy, he eventually does make it into Notre Dame, walks onto the team, and he kind of becomes a member of the team. And I say kind of because to truly be a member of Notre Dame, you have to be part of that small group that actually plays on Saturdays. And Rudy wasn't quite good enough. Even though he worked so hard and he was one of the hardest workers on the team, he just wasn't quite good enough. And so because he was just part of the practice team, eventually he loses heart. And eventually he became a doubter and a skeptic. Is it even worth it to be on this team? And he walked away from the team like the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. He walks away until a friend helps him to see the bigger picture of going back to the team. And as he heads back to the team, how does the team respond when Rudy comes walking back?
Make him come in. 38 up. 38 up. Just hustle up.
If you say yes to Jesus today, it tells us that the angels in heaven are rejoicing and they're throwing a party. If you say yes to Jesus today and you walk over to the prayer warriors who'll be over here waiting on you, they're going to be doing backflips. Well, maybe not literally, but they're going to be celebrating with you just as the team celebrated as Rudy returns. We will celebrate with you. But what about when someone new comes into New Life? How should we all respond when somebody new walks in the doors of New Life? How should we all respond because they're having a chance to get to know Jesus? You know, we should have a celebration just like the team did when Rudy came back. And it should not just be the people out in the parking lot or the people at the doors or the people at the coffee shop or Randy and Scott out there at these doors or the ushers as they come down the aisles. But instead, it should be every single one of us, no matter where we're sitting, when we see someone new coming into the doors of New Life, knowing that there's a chance that they don't know Jesus and they might find Jesus because of them coming there, we should be like that team and having a huge celebration and welcoming them every time. But sometimes that doesn't happen. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with someone who's only been coming here for a couple months. And I asked them about their first week or two here and how they received New Life. And they said it was great. You know, as I came in the door, I just was greeted over and over by people. But when I found myself in my seat, all of a sudden, I felt very alone because nobody sitting around me welcomed me very much. People, that can't happen. You know, I know some people when they come in here, they just want to be a fly in the wall. They don't want to be bothered. They just want to check things out. But there's a lot of people as they come through these doors, they want to know that they're finding a place. Well, some people come in and they don't want to just find a place where that a church is friendly, but instead they want to find a place where they believe that they can make friendships. Do you hear the difference? They don't just want a friendly church. They want to find a place where they can build friendships and build relationships. And if they don't find people around them, seeing them and welcoming them, they might miss out on that. If we consider this place to be home, and I know that most of you sit in the same places every single week. I could start calling you out. I know where you sit. And therefore, you know other people who regularly sit around you. And if this is our home, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and if you have a new person coming into your home, how should you respond? Well, let's make it a life work for ourselves. This is our life work. Welcome them home as guests. Treat them with urgency, that whatever you do when they come and they sit in your area, that if you welcome them with open arms and blessing, that maybe, just maybe, they'll be willing to come back again and again, and maybe eventually they will find Jesus. But that, even that can't be the end of our urgency. If we truly understand the urgency that Jesus paints in this text, along with another text that he shares in Matthew chapter 28, right before he was leaving and heading back to heaven, he shares this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus doesn't say, just sit in your chairs and hope that these people will come in and join us. No, he says, go, be willing to give up yourselves and sacrifice for the sake of the others. You know, in the movie, the team doesn't just get excited because Rudy comes back into the practice squad, but they say, we want him to be part of us. We want to welcome him onto the team. And let's see what they're willing to actually do to make that happen.
Yeah. Well, hi, Roland. Come in.
I want Rudy to dress in my place, Coach. He deserves it.
Don't be ridiculous. Georgia Tech is one of the top offensive teams in the country. You're an All-American and our captain. Act like it.
I believe I am.
Me too, Coach. I want Rudy to dress in my place.
Coach, this is for Rudy.
For Rudy, Coach.
Every one of them were willing to sacrifice, willing to give up their own opportunity to be part of the team just so that Rudy could be part of the team. For those of us who are already Christians, what does the coach say? Act like it. If we are Christians and we understand this urgency, that there are many people in our community that don't yet know Jesus, and we have that opportunity, what does Jesus say? He says, go. Go and share the opportunity to join us here on a Sunday morning so that you might be able to get to know Jesus. We're going to make it easy on you for be able to do this. Our life work, invite people to at the movies. And this is how you're going to do it. On the way out the doors today, we have these little door hangers, invitations to at the movies. At the movies is a time where, for those of us who have been walking with Christ for a lot of days, we're not going to get a lot of deep teaching during those weeks. We're going to get some. We're going to get God's word shared with us, but we're going to spend time also in those movies. But at the movies is an amazing opportunity for us to go into the community and invite people that maybe are skeptics. They look at God and say, forget it. I don't want to believe in God. Or maybe they're people who have walked away from the church for whatever reason as a prodigal. And we're going to put these in their hands and say, come back and check out our church. It's going to be fun. We get a free pop, free movies. We want to check out some of these great things going on. And also, by the way, we're going to share Jesus as well. How many will you take? How many people do you know in the community that have walked away from the church or presently are not part of a church or don't believe that there is even a God? How many can you take out there to share with those with this sense of urgency? We need you to go forth and invite those people in. We are making it easy for you and to invite others. But here's the thing. If you really get crazy and invite them with you, then eventually, possibly, just maybe, we can get them to Jesus by sharing the gospel with them. And Jesus paints an amazing picture of that celebration. Again, it goes like this. You will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And people will come from all over the world, from the east and west, north and south of Gillette, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then, and some who are the greatest now will be least important then. It's a celebration. It's a celebration that we can have with others and helping to get them to Jesus. And if we do, maybe that celebration will be just like the one that Rudy shared as he became part of the team.
What the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy. A walk-on senior, subject of a future article in yesterday's student newspaper, The Observer. After toiling for 2 years at Carnegie Field and
go get it, kid!
Getting somebody on the team. There's no greater celebration. An eternal life with Christ. And the cool thing is, the eternal life, it's not just a big celebration when we get there to heaven, but it starts today. Every morning when I wake up, I celebrate because I know, like Jesus says, I am connected to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Daniel and Martha and Mary and Simon Peter and James and John, and the list goes on of people throughout the ages who have given their lives to Christ and desire to walk with him. It is a celebration, a reunion every single day as I walk in faith of Christ, as he makes my life better and makes me better at life. But for each and every one of us here, we need that sense of urgency to realize that we know people that don't yet know Jesus. And we have an amazing opportunity, a simple one, to take a simple invitation and invite them to, at the movies, a fun way to hopefully get them to Jesus. Won't you join us? Won't you have that sense of urgency as you go out the door? Take as many of these things as you want to hand them out to those who you want to get to Jesus. Let us pray. God, for those of us, those in our midst here today, that Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Spirit, you pulled on their heart today, and today is their day. Today is the day where they're saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to him because he gave his life for me. Jesus, with their hearts pounding hard in this moment with joy and excitement as they join us as the eternal part of your kingdom, Lord God, I pray that as they move towards the prayer warriors, that they're just going to be so stirred and excited. Lord Jesus, thank you for them. Overwhelm them with your presence this morning. But for all of us here, Lord Jesus, build in us that sense of urgency that as we go out these doors, that we're going to be looking forward to those people in our lives that we know, whether it's at work, at school, out in the community, down the road, next door neighbors. Lord God, who are those people that you are going before us to prepare them that we might invite them to come back to get to know you? Jesus, you promise us that you will always be with us, never forsake us, till the end of the age. We praise you, O God, in your name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.